Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we want our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
HBU Think About It presents Dr. Charlotte Fontenot. She's the director of the graduate program and program coordinator and assistant professor in education at Houston Baptist University. And Charlotte, your research interests are in the area of autism and inclusion. First, we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here this evening.
Now, let's talk for just a minute because you have so many things we could talk about. I'm particularly interested, too, that your current research endeavors include integrating the use of technology into the elementary classrooms with primary interest on the implementation of iPad use. That's exciting, too. So let's begin first. Tell us how you came to HBU and your academic background and professional background.
Sure. Well, I came to HBU as an educator for many years, multiple districts, school districts. I've come from North Forest Independent School District, working in pre-K setting, as well as in the life skills setting, and then fifth grade, and then PPCD, and then into an administrative role in Cy-Fair Independent School District, which is where I ended my career in the public school system. While there, I've always worked with students with disabilities, primarily students with autism, which is one of the main areas that I love. Also students with multiple disabilities, stemming around the special education disabilities or categories. During that time of working in the school system, it was a desire of mine to provide not only the students an opportunity to be successful in the classroom, but also giving the parents a way to help the students when they're in the home. We've often said that schooling doesn't stop in the school setting, but it goes home. And so the parents have to have something that they can work with the students on. So being in that classroom setting as a teacher and then later as a behavior specialist administrator role, we wanted to allow the students an opportunity to express themselves not only socially, but academically, meeting the whole needs of the student. And with the iPad and a lot of the apps that are available on the iPad today, there's a variety of concepts that we can use in the classroom setting and then allow the parents to take it home and work with the students as well. So using that iPad in any form of technology, it has given the students an opportunity to succeed where some would say they would not be able to.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We're talking to Dr. Charlotte Fontenot, who's the director of the graduate program, program coordinator and assistant professor in education at Houston Baptist University. Your background, Dr. Fontenot, where did you do your work at?
I did my master's and my undergrad degree was from Texas Southern University. My undergrad in EC through 6, and then my master's in special education. Then I went to Prairie View A&M University for a master's in administration to become a principal, assistant principal. Then from there, my doctorate is from Sam Houston State University.
And are you a Texan?
I am a Texan.
And you're from where?
Born and raised here in Houston, Texas, or a small community outside of the north side. It was called Coralville, Texas. Now it was annexed into Klein ISD area. So now it is now Houston, Texas.
Well, we are blessed to have you at Houston Baptist University.
Do you mind if I call you Charlotte? I don't.
Okay, very good. Let's, you know, autism. First, define, if you would, technically what autism is.
Autism is a developmental delay or where students are oftentimes not communicating. They're not able to speak to you. They're not able to give you a lot of eye contact. A lot of them in the earlier stages stopped doing things that typically students at the age of 3 would do. Such, for an example, students would be able to run around the house, go and take care of themselves, pottying, going to the restroom, feeding themselves, just those typical things or the daily living things that we would say is something that most students would be able to do or kids would be able to do, where students that have been diagnosed with that diagnosis of autism have a difficulty in doing those things. Some actually end up not being able to walk at all. I've had instances and worked with students where at one time, between the ages of 1.5 to 2, they were doing those typical things. The babbing, the gooing, cooing, as other students would typically do, saying those beginning words, mama and daddy, and sit and eat and drink and all of those things. And then all of a sudden they stopped doing it all. And then no movement, no eye movement, no verbiage, nothing. And then later they're identified as a child with autism. And of course, it's a devastating diagnosis for a parent, but less known that child that was used to doing things and now can't do it, can't do anything. So where do you go? So that's when now we have a lot of resources that are available, not only for the student, but also for parents that will allow them an opportunity to meet and be with other parents that are also experiencing or going down that same road of having to work with and live with an individual with a disability.
What causes autism? I mean,
there's really no clear indicator of what happens. There's a neurological defect that is there, cognitive.
Yeah.
Some have said it's all cognitive. Some have said it has to do with shots that students get at the early age. There are 3 shots that most parents know that they give their children between the ages of
And that's a
one.
Big debate, isn't
that's
it?
That's a I think very big
Robert
debate.
Robert De Niro's in on
yes.
that thing.
Yes, and so you always have some in the pro and the con.
Right.
Some that says it is the medicine or the shots, and then some say that it's not. It's just, you know, the developmental stage, delay in development. But it's a big issue. So
and,
hopefully
and regardless
we can
of
get
the
it.
Cause, you mm-hmm. have to come up with an education solution.
There is a solution. And I think my biggest concern is that so many times you have perhaps teachers or educators or individuals in the field that feel as though the student, if they have this diagnosis, they would never be able to do anything. But that's not the case. If you have what I call, and I tell my students here at HBU all the time, there's a difference between a teacher and an effective educator. That effective educator goes that extra mile to make sure that every single student in their class, whether they are students with disabilities, or they're a student, a typical student, or what we say a typical student is those that are being serviced in the general education setting. If we take those extra steps to give that iPad to Jimmy with autism, because what? He's a child first, and then he's an individual with a disability. We have to remember they're human. They have feelings.
Sure.
Might not be able to express it
right.
the way that we do. But they can communicate just like you and I can. But we have to give them the tools. And when you have those effective educators that will go beyond the typical duties of a teacher and say, I'm going to get this, this, and this to make sure that Jimmy is successful, they can be successful. And I've seen it happen where you have students with autism that have been labeled with that diagnosis that goes from lying on a beanbag in the classroom all day long, no interaction with the other students, to that student beginning to walk, to run, to talk. Now, you know, Fontenot is not an easy name to say, but when you have a student that has stopped speaking and then all of a sudden within that year and a half of working with him and his parents, he begins to say your name, Fontenot. And I'm like, yes, right, that's really not happening. But then, and he had the sense of humor so that when my parents would say, say Bontano. And he's like, just start giggling. Remember, this was a child that had a flat affect, meaning there was no emotions. He couldn't, you could look at you eye to eye, but he would not give you a smile or, you know, just a giggle, nothing. But then he started, you know, walking with the walker, talking, eating, because he stopped eating. So can they be successful? Sure. It just takes that effective educator.
That is fascinating. And I want to think that Apple wasn't even here, you know, what, 2 decades ago?
Correct.
That there was just some dropout that was in an apple orchard and named Steve Jobs and decided to parlay it into a company called Apple, and now the iPad. The use of technology in the into the elementary classrooms. Okay. Now, bring us up to date, because we've got a lot of people listening. When we went to school, there are just a bunch of books. And
on the blackboard?
Yeah, on the blackboard and a bunch of chalk. Mm-hmm. So what's happening now?
Oh, God. Technology in the classrooms today is so broad. You may walk into a classroom where every single student will have an iPad. You may walk into a classroom where every classroom has 10 to 20 computers, where the students are able to go and work individually according to their levels. The programs that are not only available on iPads, they're available on the classroom computers. So you have those. You have smart boards. All students love the smart boards, including our students with disabilities. Why? Simply because it's a form of technology. We have to start engaging our students with technology and things that will keep them actively engaged in the instruction. And so when you're using things like the smart board, each student can come up and manipulate. You have your touch screens. Well, it's a big screen, just like a computer, but it's large. And the students can go up, they can click on it, it will make the sounds for them if it's for lower grades. If it's math, it will help them work through the problem and give them the answer, let them know it's incorrect, it's correct. So there's no limit today to what types of technology can be used, because we're trying to make sure that we are reaching our 21st century student, mm-hmm. which means pulling in that technology. So the moment you walk into a class and you don't see any type of technology, that's one of those moments that we need to think about. Are our students actively engaged in their own learning? Because anytime you have students that take an active part into their learning, they will be successful.
Now, Charlotte, how did you get so involved in this high-tech world, and or even aware of it? I'm sure there's many peers of yours around the country that quite aren't into the techno revolution that's going on. How tell us about that.
Honestly, the way that I came about it was working in the classroom setting, in the PPCD setting. PPCD, I'm going to go back and tell you.
Because
in the world of special ed, we have only thousands of acronyms.
Right.
Well, PPCD is a preschool program for children with disabilities.
Okay.
Normally, it ranges from 3 to 5, or actually 3 to 6, depending on where that child's birthday falls, on whether they would move on to the next level at 6 or at 5, stay in PPCD. So in this particular setting, I've had multiple disabilities in the class. Students with autism, students with intellectual disabilities, meaning their cognitive ability was not as ours would be, or where a typical 3 or 4 year old would be. So you needed some extra things to help them. And so as a teacher in that PPCD setting, I always strive to pull things and apps and programs and technology that would help the student. If it meant sending a student to a learning center that included headphones, that's technology. Having students, giving them an opportunity to listen, and then after they're done, come back to me or one of the paraeducators that's in the room, and then telling us, what was that about? Again, we're working on language. because everything that you do, you are teaching. It's a teaching tool. And so from there, we just started embedding technology as much as possible. And, you know, God knows, from there, you look around, that's all we see is technology.
Is there any research that's been done that, mm-hmm. I mean, to think that a child may have some kind of challenge, mm-hmm. and yet technology helps them matriculate mm-hmm. Educationally. I mean, mm-hmm. what is it about it? I went over the other day to my son's house, and my mm-hmm. grandson at 5 took my wife's iPhone and was flipping around and going through the whole thing. He knew stuff I didn't even mm-hmm. know. What is it that connects with a young child that may be challenged?
I think it's the inquisitiveness, if I could say. Knowing that they can maneuver something, and I think a lot of it is, I can do it and you can't, Dad, you know, or Granddad, mm-hmm. I can do it and you cannot do it. Knowing that they can take this piece and manipulate it and find things, that's exciting to them. And I think that is the piece that continues to help education, is because once we take that and use their excitement, things that are making them want to learn, and you begin to incorporate it into that school setting, or even in the home, then you know you've reached that student, and you can help them master any skills that you're trying to teach them.
Now, talk to us about the education department mm-hmm. at Houston Baptist University. And I see the statistics, and it represents a very strong demographic. Mm-hmm. of people who come to Houston Baptist mm-hmm. and enroll. Why is there such an attraction? What's available? And take a moment to tell us about the benefits of your department.
Oh, awesome, sure. Well, our graduate department for the College of Education and Behavior Sciences, we have multiple programs. There are some programs that are built for students that want to come back and get certification to become teachers. There are other programs that focus around students that are already certified as Texas teachers, but want to further their education. We have programs such as diagnosticians, counselor education, education administration, or for those that want to become principals, assistant principals, or in some type of administrative role on in their districts or on their campuses. All of those programs are flourishing right now, and I think mainly it's because we are a Christian university, and students are looking for that. They're wanting to know, how can I integrate my faith into my job? Mm-hmm. Being in a public school system, I can't go in there and say, oh, I thank God for this day. It is such a wonderful day outside. I can't do that. But can I go in before my students come in and say, you know, okay, Heavenly Father, I need you to bless this room. Mm-hmm. I can do that. As long as I'm not doing it in the presence of my students.
Right.
So as the educator, I've always done that. So when our students come here, they're like, how can I integrate my faith? I know it's important. And because of my faith, I'm here. And that's why they really want to come here. They know that every professor that they have, regardless of the program that they're in the College of Education and Behavior Sciences, they know that they are in the midst of people that are using their faith. Every class session, the professors here will pray with you. I've had students that had received emergency calls. Sure. And they were frantic and they needed to go to the hospital. I'm like, well, we can't let you go. I said, we're gonna stop, we're gonna pray. And just to see that they have faculty members and classmates that know we're all not the same faith, but we believe in the same God. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference. And I think that's why we're having such an influx of students that are now wanting to come to Houston Baptist University. Some have been here in the city for years, never really thought about it until they really started thinking, I need an active part, I need a partner. So that's what we are. HBU is a partner to any person that wants to better themselves in the Christian community, but also make an impact in the community.
That is absolutely beautiful, Charlotte. We embrace that confessional statement here at HBU that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I've always said that it is a bit of a misnomer to say you can't pray in school, because you can pray anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you certainly illustrate that. What are the different programs that a student could investigate, both in the undergraduate and the postgraduate area of education at HBU?
Okay, we have an early childhood through sixth grade, or what we refer to as EC through six. That is graduate level and undergrad. We also have the EC through six all level special ed. Of course, you know that's my love. EC through six and all level sped. So it's undergrad as well as graduate level. You have counselor education, graduate level. You have psychology, which is grad and undergrad. You have Christian counseling, which is graduate level. You have diagnosticians, which is on the special education track for those that are special ed teachers or teachers that want to go into the field of diagnosing and working with families on the special education track. Then you also have the education administration. We have bilingual education. We have, let's see what else we have, science and social studies, 7 through 12, history, 7 through 12, social studies. So it's a variety of programs. We have, I think it's about 24 total. So it's
24
a lot.
Programs.
It's about 24 programs
in the Department of Education.
That's within our department, at undergrad and graduate level. When you get through and you put them all together, it's a lot.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of opportunities for anyone that wants to come to HBU, to the College of Education. We definitely welcome them.
Okay, and they can navigate and learn more about that through hbu.edu/education.
Education, COEBS, College of Education and Behavior Sciences.
Okay, very good. Just before we end, tell us about your relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell that's a meaningful part of your life.
Often I think, how can a person exist without knowing him?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. If you wake up in the morning, it's because of him. If you walk, it's because of him. You breathing, it's because of him. So how could you not serve a God that is so good, so awesome? You can't.
Dr. Charlotte Fontenot, the director of the graduate program, program coordinator, and assistant professor in education at Houston Baptist University. He has given us so much to think about and to tell your friends about, and all kinds of people to understand the vast array of opportunities academically in the education area at Houston Baptist University. We look forward to not only continuing to talk about the Department of Education, yes, but all the team members. And we want to thank you so much, Charlotte, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.